Hello and welcome back to another episode of Quarantine with Josie and
Mac.
Well, late on that one there, Mac.
Suspense.
All right, so for my update today, or our update, I'm just on CNN.com and just doing like right when you get on the website, it's like the what you need to know little update, which is what I love to read because then you don't have to go through all the articles, which we have a lot of time on our hands in general, so you can do that on your own if you really want to dig into those articles. But the what you need to know. The numbers. COVID-19 has affected more than 3 million people and killed at least 211,000 worldwide, according to Johns Hopkins University. I don't always like to look at the numbers because the numbers are just crazy. I mean, like, that is insane, but it does, like, make you realize this is very much a thing. And I know, like, and it's interesting because I feel like until it affects you personally or someone that you know gets it, it's hard to really, like, wrap your head around it. And I'm sure it's hard even when that happens to be, like, so many people in the world are suffering. But, yeah.
Yeah, it sucks to, like, hear, but it is, it kind of grounds you.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, important. It's important to, you know, just every once in a while check in on that and just see that this is crazy. And then when you hear numbers like those, you're like, okay, so I'm not going to go and meet up with my friends because it's not worth it. All right, so I guess it was a headline maybe. Pandemic far from over. The World Health Organization says that there are concerns about increasing trends in Africa, Eastern Europe, Latin America, and parts of Asia. That's also scary because Mac and I were talking about yesterday how states in the U.S. might start to, over time, very slowly, start to open things up. But if worldwide trends are increasing, who knows where we'll be. In the U.S., some states are already taking their first steps towards reopening, and it has a place where you can follow the live updates from the U.S. And that's interesting because I literally just said that. But it's like we're all on different tracks. Like, I think some places in Asia are, that originally got it might be, like, completely opened, you know what I mean? Over here, we're still very much in it. Like, I was talking to my brother in Hong Kong, and he was saying how, like, they're allowed to, like, go to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had it first, you know? So now we're all kind of being hit in different waves. And so it's interesting to see, I think, like, when states start to open up or when countries start to open up, is it working? And, like, are more people getting infected there? Because then if that happens, we'll have to close down again. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty, pretty crazy times. And I don't even know where we're going to go. Who knows? The update I have is Netflix is making a comedy set in the coronavirus pandemic.
So on a lighter note,
it's from the Orange is the New Black creator, and it's going to be called Social Distance.
And I've heard good things about Orange is the New Black, so.
Yeah, it's this is from LA Times reporting. So yeah, that's something.
That'd be cool.
And we probably will see more stuff like that.
Yeah.
Out. Like, I was listening to an interview with Stephen King on NPR, and he was talking about on his new book that just came out. Originally, a lot of it was supposed to be set, like, right now, like, during, like, April, March of 2020. But he had to make it 2019 because he had people gathering, and he was like, that's not realistic.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's interesting.
So it does affect things like that.
And I was thinking, like, you know, there's so many movies about, like, World War II or, like, different events like that. Like, will it be like that? Will we have, like, all these movies coming out, like, about what's going on? And it could be far in the future, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Who knows? And who knows? This show, they must have just started making it
Say working on it, it's probably decided to start writing it.
Yeah, it's definitely writing it. Because think about it. This show isn't going to come out for so long, too, because who knows when they can actually get together to film it.
Exactly.
And that's what I'm thinking about. Like, so I think Jeopardy is, I watch it every night with my family, and I think it's, like, they do, like, a whole week in a day type thing. But I'm like, what happens when they run out, you know?
Well, yeah, and I was thinking the same thing I was looking at an article about Survivor.
Yeah, what happens?
One of the comments was like, what's really going to suck is if this comes back in October or whatever.
Yeah.
And there's no Survivor or any other, like, anything remotely live.
And not that this is a big deal because they can just do it, but I wonder how they're going to do the finale for Survivor because it's live.
Did you not see?
No.
Oh, they're doing it live, but it's all remotely. It's going to be like, I don't know how exactly it's going to work, but I saw that's the 3-hour finale and it's going to be remote. So it's going to be weird. Like the winner, they're just going to be with their family. Like,
but I think almost that'll be kind of cute, like seeing their whole family react
too.
It won't be the same, but you know, if you're trying to look at the bright side, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
So let's see. This morning I baked some muffins, some zucchini muffins. I always like, I know zucchini and like muffins sounds bad, but honestly, it's really good. My sister is a very picky eater, Emma. Or not necessarily, she's gonna be like, I'm not a very picky eater. She's not that picky, but she wouldn't be the type of person
who'd
like vegetables and food.
Sounds gross.
And she loved it, and so it's, I literally just looked up like healthy zucchini muffin recipe because we had zucchinis, and so that was a fun thing to do. That like added some stuff to my life. I also did a Mendy yoga class, which I always recommend. I went in my basement and, like, lit candles and turned off all the lights, and it was nice. It kind of, like, you know, gave me... I've started to find that certain things, like... And then after that, I went for a run. Like, I'm starting to enjoy running more, taking showers. Like, I put on a podcast while I'm in the shower, and I, like, just, like, enjoy my time in the shower. I'm, like... Let, like, and I'm not even washing my hair. I'm just, like, standing there because I'm doing this new thing where I, like, wash my hair every 7 days, but I still shower. Obviously, that'd be gross if I didn't, because I would not be clean. I would smell really bad. But, yeah, so...
You're enjoying showers.
Yeah, I'm enjoying showers. It's the small things I'm starting to notice. Like, it's little things that I'm, like, doing, and I'm like, wow, this is so nice, when normally I would not really be thinking that. That's what, you know, quarantine life is changing me, guys.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I didn't really do much today at all.
We have those days often.
I worked out, and that's about it.
Yeah, you know, that's something.
I read. I read for a while.
So are you done with school?
I still have a couple things I need to do. I need to write a paper and do a TED Talk.
Ooh, yeah, that's exciting.
After that,
do you know what? Can it be on anything?
Well, it has to be about. We read all these books by this author, Edward Gentricott, and I have to talk about two books in regards to some, like, word. And then, but after that, I can talk about how that word affects me, so.
That's cool.
I haven't really looked at it yet. It's not due for
I think teachers, weeks. I'm sure this was already something that you were going to have to do, but I think some teachers are getting creative.
Yeah, I'm actually not sure. I don't remember seeing that we're going to do a TED Talk, so.
One of my teachers, like, I had a project where I had to, like, sort of make a story, not, like, write a story, a true story about, like, my life in quarantine right now, and then, like, make it into an Instagram post. Not actually post it on Instagram, but she had, like, an Instagram template. Another teacher I had to, for Spanish, make a project, and I went out in my backyard with, like, all camo on to make it. So, you know, teachers are getting creative to try to get students, like, doing different things, and I think that is great.
Yeah, that's really good. Try to get them to do something.
Because it's so much easier to like actually like focus on something when it's interesting and it's something you can relate to, kind of. Whereas so, and they realize like all my tests and quizzes are open notes. And this might not be for every school, but I think that my teachers are definitely starting to like, it's not like they have these super high expectations. And at the beginning of this, Gina Raimondo literally said to us, like, some learning is better than no learning.
Yeah, I think teachers are fully embracing that.
And so. I think that's a good thing. So far, at least for my school and you, right, things have been going well in that aspect.
Yeah, a lot of my professors revise final projects to make them a little easier to do. Like, less research-based and everything. So that's nice. What I'm going to try to figure out is, once I'm completely done with school, because right now that's kind of been my thing that I do. Like, I wake up, I eat breakfast, and I work for like 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to find a project, whether that is trying to, like, make a movie or something, or whatever.
Write a movie first.
Write a movie.
Like, you could actually, yeah. like, because normally, like, when we make movies, we just kind of make the movie.
Yeah.
But, like, actually, like, writing a movie, that could be kind of cool.
Yeah, so I'm going to try to, try to find something to keep me busy.
And then I'll have something really interesting to talk about on here, yes. So no pressure. All right, let's, for the interview, you can do a little intro.
Yeah, so I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to interview my good friend Nick Lonnie, who we talked about on the podcast. He did the fundraiser on Instagram. So I'm just going to call him up and see kind of what that fundraiser was all about, how he managed to raise so much money, and yeah, so that should be fun.
Let's get into it.
All right, so it's Mac here. Josie's not with me, but I'm interviewing my good friend Nicholas Lonnie, who
hey guys, what's up?
We talked about on the podcast a couple times. So how you been, Nick?
I'm good, Mac. I just wanted to make sure you were doing well. I know that this is putting a damper on senior year, but you're doing a good thing here.
Yeah, you know, it's a bummer. You just got to make the most out of it. Hopefully we Hopefully it clears up in the summer and we can do something with our grade, but we'll see what happens.
Absolutely, buddy.
So how about you introduce yourself and talk a little bit about the fundraiser you did?
So for people who don't know me, I know there might be some Rhode Island people that listen to this. My name's Nick Lonnie. I graduated Fairfield class of 2019. Can't believe it's almost been a year now. One of my best friends from the junior class when I was a senior was Mac Lees. We played on the Fairfield Club hockey team together. Went to nationals a couple times. Was semi-finalists.
No big deal.
Last year, I was going to be. You guys were going to be eventual champions this year, but again, Corona cut it short.
Yep.
I love, fundraising is a passion of mine. We did it a lot. And again, Mac was a part of a lot of that stuff. With the Soap Hockey Tournament, it's been going on for 3 years and has raised over $7,000 for lung cancer research. So, just off of that, we've kind of been sitting on our butts for a month. So, we started off with just a harmless picture of a 40-ouncer. Has now turned into like over $11,200.
Yeah, so how'd the first fundraiser start? Because I know you and the Walsh twins kind of.
Yeah, so basically, I live with the Walsh twins and Matt Marchand. Matt Marchand isn't here, thank God. We were all working from home, and it's just nice to have a beer after work. Not every day, but that's the way it's been, kind of going lately.
Yep.
And I bought a 40-ounce as a joke and took a picture of it and said how much, for Kevin Walsh to chug this in 4 minutes. And I got a ton of traction. People were like, I'll give $10, $20, $30 to see that. And I was like, well, you know what? Maybe we can make this into something, turn it into something good. And we set off with a goal of $200, and it kind of just skyrocketed. It hit the 200 mark. We were at 287 when we started the live stream of Kevin Walsh and Matt Walsh drinking against each other, and ended it with 507, and then another, $113 rolled in. So it ended up being like $620, $630. So it was awesome.
Yeah, that was I didn't get to see that one, but I remember seeing all your stories about it, and I was like, oh, that's awesome. And then the big one came this week, but the week after that fundraiser. So talk about how you got the idea for it, who was involved, and how much you ended up raising.
Yeah, it was good. We saw that it got a ton of traction the week before. I think we had 62 viewers, which on a live stream for, someone who's not a celebrity.
Yeah, that's impressive.
It's a lot. Yeah, it's a lot of people. So it's, Matt Walsh and Kevin Walsh, like them just going at it. Like, I think, without sports, without, a lot of new stuff on, not being able to go outside a ton, not being able to go to your favorite restaurants, people just need like different content. They need like different things to watch. So,
mm-hmm.
It kind of just caught, like wildfire. And I posted a question to see if people wanted to see content similar to that. And it was a resounding yes. There was two no's. I'm not going to name names, but one of them was Madison Galello. So shout out her saying no. From then, you know, we kind of just went to the lab and we're trying to think of, you know, the funniest thing that we could put together. The final product was that kind of beef eating competition times a sidewalk slammer times, a relay race. That's what we ended up doing. But, before the event even started, we had $5,061.
Jeez.
For podcast reasons, I'm going to say $5,069. Yeah. I'm pretty sure we had it.
Something around there.
But, yeah, so it was great, man. You know, the goal was 300, and to have 5,000 before, we even started the event was amazing. By the end of the event, we were at $5,877. I kept pushing because I really thought that people, you know, I think people had it in them, mm-hmm. to get to, you know, a little bit higher. Once we hit $6,000, money started flowing in a little bit, you know, faster. And then we hit the $7,000, and then I thought the $10,000 was possible. So that's why I pushed pretty hard for it. And again, you know, it's just, the kindness and generosity of everybody. It really is, I'm glad that, you know, we can embarrass ourselves and, you know, do stuff like that just for levity, because I know that, you know, people and people's families are being affected by this, mm-hmm. not only, you know, job losses, but, you know, people losing their lives or, you know, being in the hospital for weeks at a time, being quarantined from the people closest to them. So that was just really important for us that, you know, we could just provide just a brief, you know, like almost interlude to, you know, what we're kind of dealing with right now. So,
yeah, I mean, it's incredible that you're able to do that. $10,000 is phenomenal. Whenever I tell like my family or anyone, they're like, well, how many followers does he have? And it's not like you're just a normal guy who was able to raise $10,000 for a stupid beer drinking, beef eating contest. Were you getting like just a lot of donations from like people you didn't know, or was it a couple really big donations or a mixture?
Yeah. Again, you know, like I guess it's just like the Fairfield hockey trend, but you know, I got everything from $1.69 to a $250 donation from like an entire family.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't really matter, you know, large or small, every donation really counted. And you saw like them, like the donations building on each other. And, you know, every once in a while you get that $200 donation that would bring the fundraiser back to life.
Mm-hmm.
And then the little donations would build on top of each other, and then we'd eclipse a goal, and it just was amazing. So I think, you know, it ended up being over 300 separate people donated, familiar, unfamiliar. Like I said in my post, I had complete strangers from my uncle's restaurant that had seen my the post about how we serve Beth Israel in Boston,
mm-hmm.
send me $100.
That's awesome.
It's it was, again, you know, I think this is a great thing that you're doing here, Mac.
Oh, hold on.
Everyone's ability to kind of forget about everything that's going on and, you know, come together. I think that was amazing.
Yeah, no, it's pretty fantastic. So before I let you go, I just want to know, I think a lot of people are curious, where's the money going? Like, what are you fundraising exactly for?
Yeah, definitely. So what's the end goal is, so I have, it's 10, the ending goal, like the amount of money that we raised was $10,600. I've already begun to allocate that money. So, if you're, I don't know if any Fairfield nurses listen to this, I'm continuing to post on my social media about having them contact me, to, you know, order them, you know, breakfast, lunch, or dinner, get them fed so that they can, you know, continue to do their work on the front lines. So, we already have two set up as of right now. Taylor LeClaire from Mass General. We are going to be providing her with her and her entire unit, both the nighttime crew and the daytime crew, with 50 breakfast sandwiches. I'll be going to my uncle's restaurant and, you know, helping prepare the food and then delivering it for 6:30 a.m. On Thursday. And then we have two on Monday that are going to Amy Polowozik at Tufts Medical Center. We're going to feed 100 nurses there, nurses and doctors, and then Emma Collins and Grace O'Hara from Collins Medical in New Hyde Park, New York. They have about 45 people in their unit, so we're going to feed them. So, you know, it's a gradual process, but you know, ultimately, I want to, you know, as much as I'm depleting the resources that we've, you know, collected to this point, I want to keep adding money. And then, you know, until this thing is completely over, I want to, you know, be making as much of an impact as we can.
Yeah, that's incredible. Well, if you do another fundraiser, just I'll have to let the podcast listeners know now that they got to know you. And we appreciate what you do, man. It's awesome.
Yeah, but again, a special shout out to Matt and Kevin Walsh. Without them, this would not have been possible. I say it to them a million times; they don't believe me. But without them, you know, competing the first time,
yeah, exactly,
this never would happen. So
they got the ball rolling.
But Mac, man, I appreciate you having me on, buddy, and I hope you're in good spirits. You always are. I love you, buddy.
Hey, I love you too, man. I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
All right. Take it easy. Yeah, so that's my my good friend Nick Lonnie. He's a great human being, as I'm sure you guys heard from that interview. We did have a little technical difficulties when it sounded like he was going into one of his classic emotional talks, so I'm kind of bummed about that. But yeah, his fundraiser really was incredible, and if he does another one, I'll have to let everyone know. All right, back to the rest of the episode.
Hi, welcome back. We actually haven't recorded the interview yet, so I don't really know what it's going to be like, but I'm sure it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be freaking sick.
All right, so first let's read the question. What was our question? Did you put it on your
screen?
Yeah,
our question was if you could ask a genie for one wish, what would it be?
Alrighty.
And we got some responses. Anna Murphy responded, a happy life.
It's a good thing.
Fantastic. Catherine Colley responded, coronavirus to go away. It's a pretty popular one. Kaylee Fry responded, she put emojis where I'm assuming I'm supposed to clap, so I'm going to try to do it. I'm going to act it out. Give me my senior year back. So she wants her senior year back.
She made that pretty with, clear.
Claps in between. Carolyn Cranston responded right now for COVID-19 to be gone forever. And Blanca responded, cure for the coronavirus. And then Kate Hobart responded, hang on, and then sent a video, which I'm not going to play, but it's a very funny play video about,
Kate Hobart. You said Kate on accident.
Oh, Kate Hobart. Sorry. It was, a video of a comedian talking about asking for infinity wishes, and then the person gets mad that he asked for infinity wishes, so he asked for infinity genies. Pretty funny. So yeah.
So, you know, if you really get specific on your YouTube, you might be able to find it. All right, so we got a DM also.
Oh yes, we got a DM from the Purple Bunny Girl, love the name. And she said that she wasn't sure if we'd said this before, but if you're stuck at home, it's a good idea to try to learn a new language or new vocabulary words. And
that is a great idea. I always find that when I'm trying to keep up with like adult conversations, I'm like, if I had something like smart to say right now, you know, better vocabulary, that'd be awesome. Because good vocabulary can really make you seem smart, even if you're not.
Yeah, I have an app that gives me the word of the day. The word of the day is aeolist.
All right. What does that mean?
Aeolist. It means a pompous person.
All right.
So, you know, you're
think you're like such A-list. An A-list. Like, if you think A-list and then E-list, yeah, that's a good one. I would say that we're going to give you those every day, but we're probably going to forget completely by tomorrow.
But so. just download the app.
It's yeah, for sure. And speaking of apps, we cover both things because he has the word adapt, and I'm learning a new language. I think I've talked about this before, but I'm using Duolingo to learn Italian, because I have to know it for school next year, or I'm taking an Italian class next year.
The gabagool.
What does that mean?
I don't know, but that's tough.
I don't know enough Italian. And then something cool also, I live with my niece and nephew, so if you happen to live with young children, Duolingo also has, like, an app called, like, Duolingo ABC or something, and it's about, like, learning the alphabet and spelling and stuff, so my nephew likes to play that on my phone sometimes, so that's a cool little educational game, too. Alrighty. Mantelligence.com is where I got my question. I kind of roughly based it about it, but when you're having a bad day, what do you do to make yourself feel better? So, like, what's your one go-to thing? You're like, I'm sad. How do I feel better?
Yeah. For me, it's a tough one. I feel like I don't really have anything that, like, when I'm sad, I just kind of like, oh, I'm sad. Like, there's usually, like, a pretty good reason for me to be sad, and other people
you're not a very sad person.
Other people are sad with me, so, like, we're all sad together. But I would say putting on a funny movie.
Funny movie, that's a good one.
That's kind of, like, my go-to, or, like, a funny TV show. Like, The Office is always a good one.
I find myself watching those after, like, horror movies. Like, I always have to watch a funny show to, like, get my mind off of it. I would say I like going for a run if I'm, like, angry or sad, because it, like, it takes your mind off it, and, you know, you just kind of run. So that's probably what I'd choose. Yeah. Listen to some good music.
Yep.
Or a good podcast.
That's good. Yeah, a good podcast with some funny people to keep you occupied.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So my question is from conversationstartersworld.com, and is, what skill would you like to master?
And it goes perfectly with right now, because, hey, you can master it. And this goes along with the learn a new language thing. I would love to be fluent in a language. It's funny because in school, currently I'm studying Spanish, and in school next year I have to study Italian because it's the only thing that fits into my schedule. So, you know, I don't really care what language it is, but to be fluent in another language besides English. And the thing is, I know, like, I won't just learn it from an app. Like, you can get the basis, but, like, you need to, like, immerse yourself in the culture. So someday that's probably what I would want to do. Learn a language.
Yeah, I'm fluently. Thinking, for me, it'd probably be cooking. Just be able to kind of whip up whatever I want whenever.
Yeah, like become a good cook.
Really master it. It'd be pretty nice.
Yeah, that'd be nice for sure.
So our third question is going to be a question for you guys, kind of.
Yeah.
We want you guys to ask us questions, and maybe every day, I just thought about this, we will each find a question online and then answer one of your questions.
Oh, yeah.
So the question on Instagram today/tomorrow is going to be, give us your question and we will pick one of them for each episode.
And by all means, give us a few. This is the one where you're allowed, Annie.
So Annie, Johnny, we're talking to you guys.
This is the one where you can answer multiple times and you will not get in trouble. And if you want to, and remember that our DMs are also always available for questions. Yeah. And any fun, like, if you have any stories of stuff that's going on in your life in quarantine or, like, anything, those always make our podcast more fun. So for sure, send some in.
And the questions that you have on Instagram, they can be something you want to know about us if you don't know us.
Yeah.
Or it can just be something like,
and if it's something like to do with the coronavirus or something like that, like advice type thing, we'll like spend time trying to, like, you know, really unpack it. Mm-hmm. And maybe we'll ask experts because we kind of know, like, we have a lot of people we know. So yeah, just feel free to ask anything and everything. All right, I feel like that sums up our episode, and we can finish with a quote. My quote, my mom actually found when she was reading The Week, which is a magazine that I highly recommend, that basically just has all the news, and it comes every week, obviously, but it's in the Wit and Wisdom section. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but never gets you anywhere. Humorist Irma Bombeck quoted it in CNN.com, and that is kind of similar to one of our quotes yesterday. It's sort of like, you know, you're not going to get yourself very far with worrying. So if you're going to do it, you know, sometimes you can't control it, but try not to let it take over your day.
So my quote is from Rocky Balboa. I'm going to try my Sylvester Stallone accent here.
Oh, dear. I'm scared.
Nobody is going to hit as hard as life, but it ain't how hard you get hit. It's how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. It's how much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
That was good.
So that's my Rocky
Balboa.
Wow,
I didn't know
you
had that tucked up your sleeve.
Oh, I didn't either. I was literally just strolling through and I was like, oh, I love that quote. Love that movie. So, yeah, that's how winning is done.
Yeah.
Get hit and keep moving forward. It doesn't
matter. Exactly. We're all getting hit right now, but we're going to keep moving forward. Nice job with that accent. Jeez, you just blew me away, Mac.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Thanks so much for tuning in. As always, you guys are the best. We hope you like our podcast because we have fun making it. All right. Stay safe.